Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. For more on our 2021 offers, contact your local Kia dealer or log on to kia.com.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
David McLean, as you heard at the start of the programme, died at the beginning of December, a very young man, 48, and died in a distressing situation. And one of the reasons his brother Robert pointed out is that he never fully recovered from being abused by a priest, acting as a priest, Father Tony Walsh, who was then ministering in Ballyferm. And Darren McGavin. Darren, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
And Darren, Robert said that David's case was never included, but you were the primary and the core case against Tony Walsh, isn't that correct?
In 2010 it was, yeah. Yeah. The Murphy report was held back because of until the trial was over.
Yeah. And you gave evidence against Tony Walsh and his abuse of you from, you were age seven.
Seven, 1979, yeah.
And you were an altar boy.
I was an altar server in the parish of Ballyferna for years. Went to the local school there, and that's where we frequented. That's where we met, and he introduced himself to me. Mm-hmm. And I suppose he just took over, got into the altar servers. He used to regularly do confessions in the school where there was a school class was allocated for confessions, and he would bring the lads in there. Yeah. And that's where it would start, the grooming, if you want to call it that.
It was grooming, yeah.
Yeah.
And he was one of the singing priests, wasn't he? And into
he was
Elvis.
In the old priest show, yeah.
Oh, good God. And when did you decide to reveal Darren? Because this is the horrific nature of this abuse. You're threatened and you're told if you do reveal that you, I don't know what Walsh told you, you'd go to hell or whatever he came up with.
You're born in hell for all eternity, okay. Yeah.
So what prompted you to go to this authority?
Well, I suppose back then I was saying that just as affection, as grooming goes, it's shown as affection and love. And it was only when more sadistic things had been done to me by him in the parochial house that I realised I was in over my neck. And on one evening, the Esther Ranson show was on That's Life.
Yeah, I remember.
And
yeah.
It was very much highlighted then as them being barbaric animals and paedophilia and paedophile, the names came out. And then I just realised that was me, and I just started crying in front of my mother. And my mother just said, did that and like that ever happen to you? And I told her. Yeah. To some extent, I couldn't tell her the full story because I didn't know what way it was going to be received.
And did you name Tony Walsh at that stage to her?
I did, yeah. Herself and my aunt went up to the house and knocked on the door, and the housekeeper said he wasn't home. Right. And my mum knocked on the door again and said, listen, he never goes anywhere without the car. He's in there and we're not leaving. And he came out and he said to my mum and the aunt, I don't mind, one is coming for me, but two is. And then I was then brought for counselling to the local dispensary in Ballyferma. Yeah. And they got the truth out of me there, let's put it that way.
Okay. And the Gardaí?
Yeah, the Gardaí were later on, they came in. They didn't come in until a good while later on. I gave a statement, and because so many Gardaí came into the room, I felt very intimidated. So I left her at just the abuse bit and went to the DPP's office, and it came back that they weren't doing anything about it. And I suppose a few years later, I was in treatment for drug abuse. I had turned to the drugs for some kind of pain relief. And when I came out of Kilmore, I went to make a fresh statement with Angela Copley from Ballyferma, who used to run the resource centre.
The great Angela Copley.
Yeah, yeah. And I remember our funeral, actually, in St. Matthew's. And I highlighted it there, and she said, listen, you have to tell the truth and go back and do the statement. Yeah. And I did. And the guard was very shaken. He said, Darren, Brendan Walsh was his name. He says, oh, this is going to see me to retirement. And I actually did. It took 17 years to get it to court.
And then what was it like for you in court, Darren, having to...
Yeah, it was horrific because, like, as you know, you're only a witness for the state.
Yeah, yeah.
So you've no guidance whatsoever. So I felt very much alone there. And I just stuck to what I believed. And I said, I just tell the truth, the way it happened. And that's all I could do. And I didn't set any expectations. I said, once I can get the story out, I'm happy enough. But it took, I suppose, when we were in the trial, we went through everything. And we went on a little break. And the two guards came to me and said, well, back in. And they looked very surprised. And I said, what's going on? He says, very unusual to be called back so early.
Okay.
And I says, okay. And when I went in, he was found guilty of every count. It took nearly an hour to call out the counts of rape against me. They had 16 initial counts of rape. Some were used with crucifixes, lighting candles, seven-up bottles. So he got, the trial was, they obviously was found guilty. He asked the judge, God love him, could I go home and collect my belongings? The judge says, do you not understand how serious this is? You're like, you have to be found guilty. So because of the way concurrent runs and consecutive runs, on one occasion I was tied up over a coffee table, raped. He stopped because there was a noise in the house and he went back in again to rape me again. So that held two rapes and a kidnapping, which held a 16-year sentence. But the totality of a sentence was 123 years for me, the highest ever handed down since the foundation of the state. The Murphy Report, in its conclusions and findings, stated he was the most prolific child sex offender and rapist to come before the findings.
Good God. And he's still in prison, isn't he, Darren?
He's still in prison. The only thing that really annoyed me about the case, people like us, Joe, have to go to see psychotherapists to get help.
Yeah.
And sometimes one doesn't work. You have to try a few till you get the one that's right for you.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But a psychologist stood up and said that he wouldn't be capable of abusing anyone. I found that very insulting and degrading. Okay. And I said,
but he's back in prison. He's in prison still, isn't he?
He's in prison. He got 4 years taken off. But since then, a few other lads have went
forward. Yeah,
and hopefully
others, if they were abused, will come forward. Thanks, Darren. By the way, you're now a psychotherapist, aren't you?
Yeah, well, not a psychotherapist. I'm a transpersonal therapist at the moment.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
So I'm still there, available to help those that need help.
Okay, so the spirit of Angela Copley lives on in you and the great
very
work
much
you're doing
so.
About her. Okay, Darren.
I'm very good friends with Ivor Brown. He's been my saviour.
Right,
so
Ivor, yeah.
I've been walking under Ivor Brown. I've been self-taught by Ivor over the last 10 years.
Ivor's still hale and hearty, I'm glad to hear. I saw him recently. Darren, you look after yourself. That's Darren McGavin. Today's producer was Annette Egan, Gar Duffy and Sam Maeve Mooney is the BCO. And Ray Darcy's next.